God put that heart on, I've had that on my playlist for a while, but for the last 2 days, in the middle of the night, in the day, that song is just running through me. So I thought, I don't know how I can squeeze it in because we have so much going on, and lo and behold, he made space. So thank you for punting with me. This is one of my favorite weeks. Such a rich study that God has given us. So read it with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Such a good reminder. We have met our shepherd. We realized we are sheep. We've gone from understanding to knowing him in a personal, intimate way last week in our valleys and in our life. Now we shift to celebration and table times of blessings and joy. Who's ready for that, right? So tables tell a story. Our tables are a place to gather, where we invite people we love, a place for ordinary days of pizza and paper plates, and big celebrations. Your tables at WOW, these tables, are a place to prepare you to gather for fellowship, for worship, and to grow in God's word. Here's some of my table stories. Jim and I went from a little small table I bought at the hardware store and refinished, or, you know, finished it with two lawn chairs, to a bigger table with benches as our family grew. And then Jim got a big old piece of MDF and trimmed it, and I painted it black and wrote scripture around it, and we screwed it on top of that table. We're fancy people. And the kids brought friends over to study, for feasts, for dates, for fun. And then after the girls went to college, Beth and Tessa left for college, I wanted a little bit more of a flexible setup. To be real, it was too hard to have all those empty places around the table. And so I hit the thrift stores in 2016. And I found just the right one with good bones, solid wood, stripped it down, and that's it. With all my crew. And that was one of the first times we all got together at that table and getting to know our soon-to-be son-in-laws. We played board games, and we laughed, and we were silly, and it was just where I fell in love with those boys. And that's them. When I found the table, they were coming in for the weekend, and so I sent them to the thrift store, and that's Jim and the boys hauling it up the front porch. And it was just so fun. It just set such a tone for the rest of our story. And I still have that table. It's now different color and painted black around the skirt. And I got some really cool thrift store chairs, too. So it's fun. But it just marked our time together. So at a WOW class, and Sue Veltri, are you here today? She led the WOW class. I'll never forget it. And Maria Goff shared that she started a tradition of having anybody who broke bread with her to sign the underneath of the table. And I thought, why didn't I do that sooner? And then I thought, why don't I start it now? And so that bottom little picture is my baby Atreus signing with his daddy Marco, putting the first letter of his name the first time he sat at my table. And so then when he's older, he'll finish his signature. My table is now full. Oh, there's the leaf. So they don't have to climb underneath and do it because I take the leaf out and put it on top. And so that's what one of the leaves looks like now. Up on the left there, I wrote the story of how my table came to be in our family. And it means so much to me. It's a special place in my house, special place in my heart. That's where most all my Bible studies are done. That's where I sit and prepare for WOW. We've had lots of Bible study time around that table with friends, and firsts with the grandbabies. So left to right, that's Atreus. Very first Thanksgiving, his first taste of mashed potatoes and gravy. And he was a big fan. Look at him. Look at him looking at his mama. Do I get to have this? Yeah, sweetie. And then Owen, that's his very first birthday, and that used to be a cupcake on that tray. He enjoyed that really well. I bought a little high chair that hangs on the table, best $20 I ever spent. And so, yes, those are my table times. God's table. In Scripture, a table symbolizes provision, protection, favor, blessings, God's presence. It represents feasts and celebrations, bringing tribes together, families together, abundance, blessings, wealth, food, and family. It serves as a place of communion for us, covenant, and signifying an intimate connection with God and fellow believers. Jesus washed the disciples' feet around a table. The very first communion was around a table. We are so blessed to come to the table every week and receive communion. God's table brings people together. It is safe. It is a place where everyone is welcome. You prepare a table before me. It's God's table. It's God's invitation. It's his menu. He sets the time frame and the plan. That's the beginning of our verse. It's a table of love and forgiveness, protection, peace, abundance, and joy. God's table, at God's table, you are chosen. And you are enough. So sit down, break bread with those Jesus brings to your table. I had a teaching once, and I'm pretty sure it was at WOW, because most of my stuff is. Most I say I'm plagiarizing from somebody at WOW, 22 years at WOW. So I learned this story, and I shared it with my daughter Beth years ago. And she had told it to a friend, and her friend painted this. This actually hangs in her house. I wish it hung in mine, but it hangs in her house. And I'll just say. So this depicts, we continually set a table. That little table in front with nothing on it and the chair. Do you see that? We set the table how we want it to, our lives to be, who we want in our lives, how we want it to go. And then we invite God to come sit at our table. Come on, God, this is what I want. This is how we want to do this. This is the life I want. This is what I expect. But the table in the back is God's table. He has prepared a table for us. His plans, his paths, his blessings for us. And he is waiting for us to come and sit at that table with him to receive all that he has to offer for us. God's table isn't a table of crumbs and scraps. It's abundance and overflowing. So stop asking God to sit at your table. And take a seat at the table he has prepared for you. Which table do you want to sit at? Which table are you sitting at? So choose. In the presence of my enemies. That was a fun find, right? The lion roaring. God invites us, not the enemy. We're the one that pulls a chair out for the enemy and lets him sit. So uninvite him. Take that chair away, because this is God's table. The Hebrew word for enemy implies more than just hatred, but one of intense stress. It creates a tight spot, a hindering our ability to succeed and causing trouble in our life. Do we want that at our table? Louis Giglio says it well. Inviting the enemy to our table means allowing his lies, fear, shame, doubt, negativity to shape our thinking and our identity. He has an amazing teaching on this if you've not seen it. He continues, we get to choose who sits at our table. We can't control everything, but we can control the voices we listen to. Letting the enemy sit means believing his narrative. Refusing him means aligning our thinking with God's truth. So take back your table. Guard your thoughts. Reject lies quickly and replace them with scripture. Choose faith over fear and truth over negative self-talk. He's good, right? Those aren't my words. Those are Louis's. He's so good. And he has a beautiful video with depicting a lot of that. So uninvite the enemy, because this is God's table. But have you ever felt God nudge you to invite someone you don't really want at your table? Not your favorite person? Or someone you never would have thought of to invite? Who do you think plants that little seed? Whether it's an actual table or a part of your life. Maybe you're on a committee and there's kind of an irregular person there that rubs you like sandpaper. Who do you think God wants you to learn to love, to see the way he sees? When we obey, God can use it for good. His purposes might not be for our good. It might be for that other person. Or it might be for someone else sitting at the table. But our job is to listen for that voice, that whisper, see everyone he brings around the table in his image, someone he loves and died for. So when I think about this, can't help but think about Judas at the Last Supper. Jesus knew already he was going to betray him, had betrayed him, but he invited him anyway. He broke bread with him. He washed Judas's feet at the table. Kind of takes loving our enemies to a whole new level, doesn't it? And that brings me back to our little be different guy from last week. We aren't called to be the same. We aren't called to look like the world. We are called to be more like Jesus every day. When you wake up, you put on your clothes, put on Jesus. Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, "But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." And then paraphrasing, he goes on to say, in doing so, you are acting as true children of the Father in heaven. For God gives sunlight and rain to both the evil and the just. If we love only those who love us, what reward is that? If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. So we are supposed to be that little white sheep in the world of not so white. We aren't asked to invite our enemy into our lives, robbing all joy that God has planned letting anxiety and worry and fear steal what God has laid before us. We are called to look different, to treat others differently. You know, you hear your pastor say it often, someone has a fish on their car or cross and they're in line at the store or Costco and they're not acting real Christian, you know. It's hard sometimes. It's like, move, I'm late. Dare to be that white sheep. Dare to treat other people differently. Jennifer shares further on this. So open your Bibles to 2 Samuel 9. You are in for a treat again. Rich, rich video. So 2 Samuel 9. Believe me, you're going to want to be in your Bible. And I probably have a slide that shows that, but I didn't put it up. All right, let's hear from Jennifer. So, are we in Lodabar? Do we want to be in Lodabar? When we did this, when I did this class as a second hour teaching this last time, dear friend of mine wrote a poem that is in your book called Leaving Lodabar, and Sherry has been kind enough to read it to us.
Yeah, this Lodabar thing really...
Get it right up to your face.
Really, 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 really affected me. And I sat down and wrote this. And I'm not a poet, so excuse me, it doesn't rhyme. It's called Leavin' Lodabar. In Lodabar, where I've been living, a place of being undeserving, a place where the enemy has sat at my table, a familiar place of unworthiness, a place that denies blessings. I've been living in Lodabar. He stood at the gate of Lodabar and called me to leave misery for mercy, to leave unworthiness for God confidence, to leave the tumult for peace. I wanted to leave Lodabar. He said to the enemy, "Let my people go. You have no power here and are not welcome." I'm headed towards the door out of Lodabar. He leadeth me who has nothing to offer, me who is lost, poor, and needy. He said, "Follow me, away from the dust of lack, out of the chaos and confusion of unstill waters. Dare I leave Lodabar?" He leadeth me to still waters because perfect love casts out fear. I have decided to actually follow the shepherd. His peace guards me. Whom shall I fear? I am anxious for nothing. No more will I be prone to wander. I'm leaving Lodabar. Even in the darkness of life, he is my light and my salvation, and delivers me from all my fears. Even in the darkness of shame and guilt, he leads me in the right paths because he is the great I am. He's leading me from Lodabar. He makes my soul new, fills me with his food and gladness, and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's leading me to my new home. He prepares a place for me. His hand shall lead me. His right hand shall hold me. For it is his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm heaven bound. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Sherry. Right? So let him lead you out of Lodabar. Because that's where Satan keeps telling us we belong, right? Cover the cup. No, don't give it to me. I don't deserve it. You are worthy. You are loved, not because of what we do or who we are, but because of who he is, right? So don't let that snake tell you different. found this slide. Isn't that good? Don't you just love the visual of Jennifer with the hunk of stuff, the hunk of coconut oil on her head? And next time you come to a party, you know, at my house, I'll put chunks of stuff on your head. Yeah. What would that feel like to actually physically feel the blessings of God run down your face, melt down your hair, drip off your chin? I'm going to try to remember that next time life has kind of dried me out. Right now, I use a lot of shampoo to try to keep that off. So, you know, we'll go. We'll go from there. But we might be missing something, ladies. That sheep looks pretty happy. You anoint my head with oil. Anointing means chosen, protected, claimed, consecrated, given the spirit and power, healing. We are so blessed that it is dripping down our face, down our hair. Live that way. Live like you're dripping. My cup runs over. Cannot be contained. Saturated in him and his blessings. I love the sponge. So we are supposed to live so saturated in his love, in his presence, and in him, like a wet sponge. You cleaned something up and you can't even get it to the sink without it dripping all over you and the floor. I want your life to drip and leak Jesus everywhere you go, like that sponge. So I had you bring your coffee cups. Hold them up. Let's see your coffee cups. I love this. Thank you for participating. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah. Yes. I had to wash it out because this was full of coffee. I love it. I'm a made in America, real clay kind of girl, as big as I can get. And this is my mama's. Daddy asked me, you know, what I wanted, and I wanted her every day. Every day, this was her coffee cup. And so now it's in my, I have one little cupboard in the kitchen that has glass in it. And for me, when someone passes, I want something practical, because I'm just practical to a fault, but also something I can see every day. I have a plate that was my grandma's in that same cupboard. Lisa, who lived in my home, I live in her home. I have a couple things of hers in there. A little dish I used to bring her little crackers in every morning. And now my mama's cup sits in there. And every morning when I get a cup out, it's good. It's good. So yes, our cups overflow. Are you a glass half empty, glass half full, or just a big old glass kind of girl? I heard that in a song once. I like that. I'm just a big old cup. When we see God's abundance, even in lack, that's overflow. Click. I'm getting better, right? Overflow is surplus, abundance, excess, spilling over. Extreme, plentiful, overflowing, fullness, bounty, plentiful, wealth, plethora, thriving, saturated, brimming over, bubbling over, running over, spilling over, 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 over. More than we can contain. That's what we should feel like as sisters in Christ. That's what Jesus wants to give us. Not Lodabar, not lack, not empty, not cracked. So how abundantly overflowing do you feel today? We should live that way. We should leak gratitude, joy in Jesus. To be filled, we have to take our hand off our cup. We have to empty ourselves of past assumptions, judgments, expectations. This isn't quite what I thought I'd be doing. You know, I'm supposed to be teaching preschool right now. I'm kind of happy with this. This feels like overflow. And if I'd have fought it, and yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So when we feel like our glass is cracked, how do we patch it? We patch it with Scripture. time in the Word, prayer, worship. Oh, worship everywhere in my house. The songs are going. I told you, Jenny and I sing in the bathtub now when I'm giving her a bath. So, and we've been doing still waters lately. Prayer, praise, and then look. You can't see your overflow unless you look for it, because it's there. So every day in your ordinary, every day, nothing's going on days, look for a little joy, look for a little spark, look for some overflow, because God's there. Psalm 119, 17, make my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. Overflow with praise. Learn something new about God today, every day, and then share it with somebody and let your joy overflow. Don't be a sourpuss Christian. Come on. So, what kind of cup are you going to bring to God? You're going to bring, you know, they don't make little paper Dixie cups anymore. That's what I wanted. I went to two stores. This is as good as I could get. I wanted just a little Dixie cup with a flower on it. Don't bring that. Bring that and hold it up high. Fill it, God. I want all you've got for me. I want all of it. And then I'm going to walk around. I'm going to pour a little bit on all your table. Everybody that comes in contact with me, everybody I see at the grocery store, at the gas station, doesn't cost me anything because there's free refills at God's table every time. I poured it all out today. Give me some more. Pour yourself out for God. It fills you more than you will ever fill anybody else, because it will never be empty, ever. We're going to do table time in a minute. And on page 27, there's a little picture drawing of a cup and saucer. And so you can write what your overflows are as we go, as you have your table time. We just have one question today so that we can get out on time. We're doing pretty good, so yay. What blessings are overflowing from your cup? We're going to praise today, because no matter what kind of Lodabar day you have had, if you look, you can find a little thing. So everybody can find something. And then it shifts your thinking. From gratitude just changes your heart, changes your day, changes where you live. All right, table time. All right, ladies, are our cups overflowing? Have you covered it pretty well? You ready to teach me? Louis Giglio.
Could you spell that?
G-I-G-L-I-O, I think. Let me look. All right, ladies, let's share. Come on, sheep. Okay, it is. There was a question about Louis. Let me get the name. I know I found stuff after I did the workbook. Sorry. Louis, L-O-U-I-E. Giglio, G-I-G-L-I-O. And it's Don't Invite the Enemy to Your Table. He's got a whole beautiful thing on it. It's on YouTube and stuff. So, okay, so let's share. I want to hear what is overflowing and what you have to share.
Well, we've got quite a bit. Number one was family. We felt like that, you know, there's something in every day as it relates to your family and friends, community, and obviously, wow. We had one person that said they're just happy for normal life and good and beautiful and appreciating that. So in other words, there's no low, right, you know, at this point. Another person said that they like the surprises that come along with God. So, you know, when something happens that you're not predicting or expecting and the surprise, you're like, oh, okay, you know, kind of jolts you a little bit. And then I specifically mentor a young woman about 27 years old. And I kind of was hesitant to jump into it, and because I've got a lot going on, you know. But it has turned out to be just such a blessing where I've grown from helping others. We help each other, and it gets me in the Word more because she keeps saying, send me a verse, send me a verse, send me a verse. So,
they, nice. Yeah. Well, and don't you find when you pour into others, you're filled more? For me, every time, every time. And God is in the interruptions. That was my devotional this morning. It was amazing. Yeah.
Okay, the main consensus at this table was everybody was abundantly thankful for their family. And one person said the presence of being at WOW with all these wonderful sisters in Christ. And one of our people told about just a very, very recent family visit from her daughter and son-in-law and their five children went out of their way. They were actually on a ski trip, I think it was, and they went out of their way to come to Prescott to spend just one overnight with them. But, you know, it was just special times with family and the joy that that can come from those very special times with family, especially when there's children involved. And then another thing that was brought up was good neighbors, especially, that we can become friends with, and good health, and sweet husbands.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I'm going to keep Jim, I think. Yeah.
So we just kind of...
Right up in your face.
Oh, sorry. We just kind of chatted about the joys that we experience with other people that are moment by moment and how they've filled our lives. And this particular teaching was really important for me this morning. Night is when the enemy comes.
Yes.
Because my husband passed away and I don't like alone. Mm-hmm. Not a good place to be. Mm-hmm. And so, but God filled me with my great-grandbaby, one-year-old this morning, giving me kisses and loving on me, and it was such a joy for God to meet me and say, reminding me that he fills my cup.
Yes.
And he's invites, and I need to uninvite. I'm trying.
Nice. So, he sees you.
It was
he
a good
sees
teaching.
You. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Right in your face.
I think we've covered everything. You've covered everything, but we are so thankful for just waking up and having this day to, to be an influence, to love God, and also, you know, friends, special friends that we have, our husbands, sweet husbands, just many things. What else do we? Yeah.
This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it, because Becky would have said that if she was here.
Our group, like everybody else, was really thankful and blessed by visits with family that have been absent for a long time. I particularly am thankful for my improving health, for God giving me the strength to be able to stick with my diet for 2 years now and for giving me a Christian doctor, which has made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
We are blessed by forgiveness and friendship, opening our hearts to be able to trust, which allows more blessings in. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is a blessing to us, not to the person that we're forgiving. And lastly, the blessing of being able to come to WOW this morning, the snow holding off. Mm-hmm. God has really blessed WOW in this way. I don't know how many of you have attended for years, but we almost never have had to cancel a WOW meeting for snow. It can be the worst prediction, and it usually doesn't come to pass. We're blessed by the friends and church we have. And lastly, thinking of your blessings snowballs. Once you think of one, it leads you to being thankful of all of our other blessings.
Yes. Good. Wonderful. I love that. You can't just eat one. It's like an M&M.
It makes us think about Psalm 103. Forget not all his blessings, right? So this is a great exercise to do. Like she said, we just keep start writing them and they keep coming. So we thought of what a blessing it was, as others did, that family. Family is such a blessing because we're here for one another. And that's what the church family is too, right? We're sisters one to another. being able to serve and be served in our families and in our churches, that's a blessing on both sides, to have that help and not to be alone. Also, health in older age. The Lord's given us each a measure of the health that we have so we can serve and we can be served. We can serve, you know, still in our areas that we have. And also, when you're older, the blessing of looking back at all those Ebenezers in your own life. How has the Lord brought you forward to this point, right? And so you play that forward because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but our Lord does. So that's those are all blessings. And there's so many more, right?
Nice. Today only happens once. Make it amazing. That's hanging in my house.
Yeah. Well, like everyone else, we're...
Right up. You got to get it right in there.
Is this up? Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay. Like everyone else, we're all very thankful for loving husbands and families and our churches and WOW and other Bible studies we've had the privilege of being in, just to be able to study God's Word, get to know Him, draw closer to Him. We have one member who's thankful for her family heirloom table with all of its scars and marks, even from when she was learning to sew, and you traced the, with those little metal wheel things, you traced the pattern on, and she still has those, and it's just, you know, warm feelings from family times at her table. Grateful for singing, the way the Lord can speak to our hearts through music, and how if we try to memorize a verse, sometimes it doesn't stick, but if you put it to music, it's in there forever. We're thankful for that.
Singing uses a different side of your brain, and I learned that with teaching my daughter Jenny. She can't say things a lot, but she can sing them, and she can remember all the words of a song when she's only heard it once. So if you want to really remember something, sing it. She's right. Where are we at over here? Debbie. If you can't hear yourself loud, stick it closer.
Okay. Of course, we're going to be repeating everything that's been said already. We're certainly blessed to have our church and all that it offers, especially our WOW group and our Bible, other Bible studies and mission work. So then one of our gals has a great-grandchild, and she certainly feels blessed by that. I personally am happy and blessed to have good health. And let's see. One of our gals said that she likes being a positive person and able to share. And one way that she does that is by wearing a positive shirt, a sweatshirt or t-shirt that has a scripture on it. And so you never know who's going to read that and feel something. Another way that we are blessed is by our church choir. Mm-hmm. And we're blessed every Sunday with them. And I was the last of five children. And I didn't know my siblings very well. And they were all over the country, and it was just me and my mom. And so I envy those who have close family and can laugh and and share and have a good time together. And now our daughter has a nice big family, and we're having fun with them.
Nice.
And... I think we have to create our own joy if we don't have it, and share it with others. And that's all I have to say.
That's good. If you're not feeling it, you just start thanking Him. And it, like I said, it's like M&Ms, and they'll just keep coming. Alpha.
Okay, well, our table.
Miss Joy.
Yes. We're really joyful for this workshop that we're going to have in March, this retreat, so that was a plus. And then we kind of talked about the surprises that God gives us and how so many times we might think it's not a good surprise, but it turns out to be a great surprise. And so, a couple of us don't have loving husbands anymore, but at least for me, when I finally felt that joy that pass us all understanding was when I could let go of the tears and the heartache that I felt, and I could see the joy that Barry brought to my life. And it was, you know, then I could see the joy in everything that he and I had together. But for the longest time, I couldn't see that mm-hmm. because I was just grieving. But then finally, when I could see that joy, that was beautiful.
Nice, nice. It takes time. Be gentle.
Well, like the other ladies have said, there's a lot of repeats. But I'm thankful in our group, a roof over our head, yes. especially in a day like this. Mm-hmm. We all had transportation to get here. We're able to walk, talk, and move and enjoy life.
Yes.
Time with the family, waking up every morning. And I think that covers them all, so
nice.
I don't repeat.
It's the little things, not just the
yes.
big things.
And
good.
It does snowball.
It does. And where are we over here? Helen? Okay. Connie?
Yes. One of our gals' husband had a pretty bad experience with his right eye where his cataract came apart, oof. Fell apart, broke apart, and it became detached. So they had to go to Scottsdale in order to get to the surgeon to get it removed and replaced. But one of our gals does not drive out of the area. So she was blessed to find that her son-in-law and daughter took the day off from their business and took them to Scottsdale to do that. So that was a real blessing for them, and that his recovery is almost 100%. It's great, and he's got 20/20 vision.
Praise God.
So that was a blessing of the overflow of good health and good results for her husband. Also, one of our gals' nephews, who is 31, has been unchurched since he was 18. She has been praying for him all this time, saying, "Lord, your word does not return void." He is now going to church. So that was an answer to prayer and a blessing.
Never give up.
Right. And another one of our gals' grandson, who has been in prison, is now being transferred to the place that they have been anticipating him to go to. And so that they are just really feeling praise and blessings that he is going where he belongs. And she is feeling really, really good about that.
Amen.
And the Lord answers our prayers. We just know that all the time. And one of the other things that we are so grateful and blessed about is good friends.
Yes.
Friends who are there. They are blessings. They are there to help and always, always support you.
Yes, very much so. Good. Okay. I love this. I love
Good
this.
Good morning. We also have a similar list, and I guess I would just pray that I remember this list.
Yes.
When some of the storms come.
Yeah.
And just be that overflowing cup that you were referring to, that we are so saturated like a sponge. It just drips out whether we're feeling it or not.
Exactly.
And one of the ladies was blessed because a great-granddaughter is to be born and are using grandma's name as their middle name.
Oh, I love that.
And that is a blessing. That just really touches us. And I was blessed this summer when my granddaughter was baptized after being raised partially by a Muslim dad. So that was a blessing. So thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Jesus. Lori?
Okay.
Kathy?
I don't know how much I can say about, well, it started with actually a lot of things going on here about, you know, we actually had a lot of death and strange things, but how God has turned it all for good.
Get it right up to your face.
Okay, I'm sorry. But how through a lot of death and all that everybody has experienced lately, God has really turned the ugly into good, if you look at it. And I was sharing with him, I've had a strange couple days, and just a lot of upsetting things in life that I don't want to go into, but I've been doing a lot of study for the Holy Spirit, which I'm doing in the spring. And as I was frustrated and kind of deep into a study yesterday, the day before, and I was, I need to hear from the Holy Spirit. You tell me you're going to talk to me, and I just have to hear this. Mm-hmm. And I went outside to walk my dog, and all of a sudden a dove flies up there. And I went, well, that's really odd. God, I need a little more than this. You know, I kept putting fleeces out there because I don't always believe the first time. And another dove came. And as I was there, in my mind, I kept going, oh, there's a song about a dove. That my mom used to talk about this song about the dove. And I got online and started all day long playing it over and over, On the Wings of a Dove. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if a lot of you have heard, but On the Wings of the Dove, God sends his sweet, sweet love.
Yep.
And it's just been really hard lately. And last night, my husband and I were sitting around, and I still kind of need confirmation that the Spirit's there talking to me. And I'm reading an article about Robert Duvall and decided, well, just to get my mind off thing, let's go find a movie. And turned on his movie, Tender Mercies. I don't know if anybody's seen it. It's like 45, 50 years old. Listening, going on in that movie, and halfway through, the daughter says something to his dad without getting the movie about a song that he sang to her when she was little and said, what's that song? On the Wings of a Dove. And I finally felt for the first time in a while that God's saying, the Spirit is with you. I really do love you through everything. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know he's there.
Exactly. He uses everything to get in touch with us. Nice. Okay.
Good morning. I'm Rachel. I spoke once before. Our theme seemed to be family as well as students. Several women here are either Sunday school teachers or homeschool teachers or former teacher as well. And so I love to talk to other teachers. But students that have wowed us with their knowledge of the Word and Bible verses, memorizing Bible verses, a daughter who was getting 99% in all of her Bible verse memory at school, and then going to chapel at this Christian school where the pastor or whoever's leading chapel asks who would like to pray, and all the kids' hands go up. I wasn't a teacher at a Christian school. I was a public school, so I appreciate knowing that, and teaching Sunday school and VBS has filled my cup in that way. But I also love to hear that. A son at a good school. I mentioned pets. I'm sure you're appreciated, you know, you love your dog. We have four pets. We're fostering a mother cat with 5 3-week-old kittens. And while she was eating this morning, I went into the nest and just nuzzled my face on their fur. And they don't smell real good because she has to clean them, and it's a lot of kittens to clean. But they're fuzzy, and I just love rubbing my face in their fur. Music, I don't know what we would do without music, especially at church, but also secular music. I like, you know, rock from the 80s, love that stuff. But music is just, it reaches us in a different way, different part of the brain.
Lifts our spirit,
No, but especially church music.
That's good. I think we've got time for one more over here.
Okay, there we are.
There, yeah.
We talked a lot about the health issues and all of the new things that we were able to do that weren't available 20 years ago. Cataract surgery, knee surgery, and all of things. And how blessed we are that we're able to do those things now when we hadn't been able to do that in the past. So the only other thing that we did, you know, I mean, everybody kind of talked about a lot of the same things. But I was sharing, one of the things I really try to focus on is the little things that happen every day, because there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of us miss out on blessings by not looking for them.
Yes.
But anyway, so a little thing I did this morning was kind of a joke. They thought it was cute, so I'm going to share it. But I was leaving my dog and putting him in the laundry room where I lock him up when we're gone. And I gave him a nice little pet, and I said, "You're going to be home alone for a little while. But just remember, be thankful that you're not a coyote or a bunny today." You get to stay in a nice, warm laundry room.
Good job. I love that. I love that. Yep. And humor can lift your spirits.
Oh, and the other thing that we talked a lot about was how important a sense of humor was.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that. Thank you so much, ladies. Oh, my gosh. This is just so enriching for me. All right, next week we start to wind things up. We'll finish our last verse next week. So this is all our words from today. We did pretty good for one verse, right? Good words, good words, good whispers. So next week, she's got a lot of scripture coming at you in the video next week. So if you want to proofread a little, get ahead of it. But we're going to finish with Psalm 23:6 next week. I'll close us in prayer. 12 o'clock in the sanctuary, if you'd like to join us. It's a beautiful service. You don't have to do the ashes if you don't want to, but if you want to come, come. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for getting us here today, for reaching us, teaching us, loving us, showing us your blessings, your overflows, and that we do not live in Lodabar, that we live in Prescott. Thank you, Lord. Watch over us and protect us, guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies.